and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cuff, Hidney Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, today we have our friend, State Representative Heather Keeler on, and then after that, and maybe both together, as a matter of fact, Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. Welcome, State Representative. Always good to see you. It's really hard under these conditions, but I want to really, before we get into anything, I want to see how you're doing and how your campaign's doing and how people can support you. Welcome.
Hi. I was going to say, I love the shirt that you're wearing today.
Yes.
I love that. It's the campaign is going. That's what I can say. Every day we're in a lot of spaces and having some really meaningful conversations. I am mad. I'm hurt. I'm confused. I'm livid. I think all the things that all of us are feeling, and, you know, just trying to put like a name to that feeling is really hard. But also, you know, we knew these things had a high likelihood of happening. You know, when you triple the budget for ICE and you give $5,000 incentives, you know, for underqualified and, you know, individuals who just want to create harm, we knew this was going to be an outcome. And so it's hard. But the thing that I know is that community is healing. And when we lean into these times together, I think often, you know, these tactics are used to divide us. And the power back is that we just stay together and we stay strong together and we, you know, build a coalition of love and community to fight back to this. And so we're seeing that show up. And I think when we see community show up, there's hope in that. And so I guess in a roundabout way, that's how I am. And it's hard to like really name it.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I've been watching our grandchildren, which is always a joy. They stayed over for a couple nights, so I wasn't able to get out there. But sometimes you need a break from social media. And I know for me, I'm at the verge right now because I've been keeping up on everything and what's happening live. And we saw Lieutenant Governor Flanagan on CNN talking about this. And so I don't know. I really love having you on for many reasons. One, you're a great guest. And two, we talk about healing and also how do we take care of ourselves during these stressful times. Because, you know, Heather, this show was started because of Standing Rock. And
yes.
You remember that.
Yep.
And it seems like we go up and down, and, you know, this last year in Minnesota has been so hard, and so hard for so many different reasons.
Yeah, it's been hard for years. I mean, yeah, you're right. We did start this. You started this. We all joined you in the effort to speak our truth. And I love that that really has, we've needed to stay consistent and diligent in that. And so, you know, I guess this is a moment to say thank you to you, Robert, for creating media space to be honest. You know, there's not a lot of media outlets. I don't do a lot of media, you know, because it can get manipulated where it's sent. You know, media plays a really important role in the messaging that's happening right now. And so thank you, you know, for working hard as you've gone through your life journey too in the last couple of years to be able to create this space, the guests that you have here, the conversations that have, again, are part of that community and space. And so, yeah, going back to Standing Rock and using this as an opportunity. But okay, so you asked me what I'm up to, right? And yeah. Part of it is, you got to remember the state, the side of the state that I serve is, you know, 3 hours away from what's happening in the cities. I live in Moorhead. I represent District 4A. I'm running for Congress in our congressional District 7, which is the entire west side of the state. The beauty of my district is it's a lot of rural Minnesota. It's a lot of these wide open spaces. The trees are beautiful. The snow and the ice that are on the trees are just stunning. And I've been out talking to my constituents and the people that I hope to serve. And that included actually yesterday hanging out with some goats and like milking a goat yesterday and just being out with all of our relatives. You know, we really believe that it's our job to take care of all of us and the environment and the relatives around us. And so I really leaned into that yesterday, spent time, you know, just being in those elements away from the media. And, you know, it was really good for my mental health. I talk openly about that and making sure that everybody's drinking water and really taking care of themselves and getting out into the elements if they can, because it is good for us to step away, rest, rejuvenate, to get back into this fight, because we need resiliency and it's going to take a lot of us an ongoing, but that does mean rest and goats, I guess, at some days.
Well, the last time I was seen a goat and I was with Wendy and we were at a sanctuary, it ate my medicine bag and it was very quick. And
they were trying to eat my shoelaces and stuff. And yeah, goats are fascinating. You know, I learned a lot about them. Like, and I would love, people often ask me like how I feel about farmers or like that whole, you know, I have a lot of farmers in my district and I say like, I actually can't wait to have a hobby farm. I just wasn't ever blessed with the land. Remember, y'all took it. had access to the land, I would be a goat farmer. I'd have chickens. I'd have we'd be doing communal living and being able to live off of the land and ourselves. And so it's interesting out here to kind of blend that dynamic.
Yeah, you know, when they show the map of blue and red in Minnesota, I always say, because the whole state looks red, but I always like to say, well, land can't vote. There's not that many people in between this red part, and you're finding that out big time again.
Yeah, my district is giant. If you've ever looked at a map of CD7, it's 3 times the size of Massachusetts. And so, but it is a lot of just land space. You know, you drive 20 miles, an hour or something to meet with 10 to 15 people. And so, it's a lot of space. You know, I also remind people of the map is that I am the only Democrat that sits in the House of Representatives past St. Cloud. And so I really am the Democratic voice at the House of Representatives for the entire west side of the state. And so been that voice and for this community for a long time, but yeah, we're way out here.
So we got like a couple minutes left, and I want to remind you again, I asked you in the beginning, is to how people can support you and where do they go and how do they keep track of what you're doing and all those great things.
Yeah, keelerforcongress.com is where we're at this year. You can find ways to volunteer, donate. We're in quarter one and we have a really big fundraising goal for us to beat Michelle Fischbach. It's going to take us a lot of money. We are a red district. And so it takes outside investors is what I say. You know, it's more than just donations, but really investing in a movement for us to build back and help raise the water in Minnesota. So we have amazing Democratic candidates up and down the ballot. Keeler for Congress, donations, volunteer, just get engaged. We're doing stuff literally every day, multiple times a day.
Yes. We're going to take a quick break and I'm going to have our friend Robert Lilgren join us. And I know you have to get going in a few minutes, but I just want to join two of my great guests here together and just have a chat, you know, about about what's happening and how things are happening. So there's Robert Lilligren, and we're going to be right back with State Representative Heather Keeler and our friend Robert Lilligren. We're just going to have a little, can I say it, a little powwow? Ho-wah. I guess I can. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back. Ho-wah.
Who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come. We are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth.
To those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life, and those who exploit it, even our own.
To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other.
To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better.
To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty.
To the young, the old, the living.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. And we have our friend Robert Lilligren from Native American Community Development Institute joining Heather and I. And it's kind of fun to have you both on, even though it's a dark time. Heather was talking a little bit about how we should be taking care of ourselves. And Robert, your organization does take care of themselves. And I just think it's a great conversation where we can start. And Heather, go ahead, jump in. Both of you have guest host my show, so take it away. Ho-wa.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert. Bonjour, Heather. It's really an honor to be on the show with you. I follow your work closely, and I have huge respect for what you do. So yeah, nice to be here with you. And maybe I'll just launch a little bit here. And I think Robert, what you were referring to is, especially post-COVID, you know, where I learned from our respected elder, revered elder Linda Eagle speaker, an indigenous approach to our work is take care of ourselves first, our family second, and our communities or the organization third. And I think I've shared with you in the past when Linda was teaching me this, I really resisted it, you know. I'm like, Linda, we're indigenous. We care about the whole. We care about everything. And she said, like, she talked to me like I was a child, a little kid, which I loved. She would say, no, Robert, that's the colonizer's way. The indigenous way is take care of yourself first, then your family, then your community. And she said it so firmly and gently that finally I just decided to believe her, right? I didn't have any proof. I thought, well, I'm going to try this. And so I embraced that approach and just saw how transformative it was for me and for my work. And so then we shared that throughout our organization, Native American Community Development Institute, NACD, and my coworkers resisted it until we didn't. And so since COVID, so it's probably about 3.5 years now, 4 years that we've been operating that way. and the impact on our organization, on our work, is almost miraculous, almost magical, right? People come in, they're taken care of, they know their families are taken care of, they give 200% to the work and to the community, and it's just been really amazing. I don't know why everyone doesn't operate that way, but now in this dark time, we're trying to evaluate that, right? We have coworkers who have such trauma and anxiety, they don't want to leave their homes. You know, they're afraid to. And so we were just, I was just meeting with the senior team in ACTI. We're a small organization, 12 people. And trying to set the course for the next 24 to 48 hours, but then into the weekend and next week. And really through these filters of take care of yourself and your families first. And so I'm just crafting an email to the work, to all of my coworkers saying that and kind of laying out a plan. But yeah, so that's our approach at NACTI.
I really love that. I also like take the same approach. I also like really within my caucus, we've been through some very, very hard times. Just this whole year feels like it's been really wild. I try to remind people that this last year was the year that the Republicans like tried to kind of take over our own government, right? Like mm-hmm. at the beginning of session. And so it's been a very, very hard year. And I've tried to remind my colleagues, and the thing I say to them often is like, drink water. I know there's many other things that we can do, but it's also that kind of back to what you were saying, is it's the reflection of taking care of yourself, filling your own cup first before you can take care of everybody else. And hydration and food and rest is the way, you know, is a way to really lean into that. And so I genuinely appreciate your reminder and the way that you framed that. I think I'm probably not the only one that needed to hear that now.
Thanks, Heather. That is very kind. And yeah, I would love to publish on this, you know, partner with Linda Eagle Speaker, because
yeah.
it is a great way to work. And then locally, you know, through the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, we've been meeting a lot, trying to respond to what's going on, figure out how to keep our community safe, figure out how to keep our workforces safe, our clients and our organizations. And it's such a rapidly shifting environment that it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. I think too, one thing that we're learning right now is the relationship, you know, I'm out here in Moorhead, the whole west side of the state I was just talking about, is that then how do we have these strong relationships, you know, border to border Minnesota, to make sure that we're, you know, really communicating well with each other, that we have these plans, you know, and rapid response plans, that it's looking at all of our communities and neighbors really across the state, because anything, you know, could show up anywhere, and we have to be there to support, but also remind each other, you know, how to take care of ourselves to go in together too.
I agree so much, Heather. And just in our little world at NACTI and in our little local community, but one of the guidance that I'm going to share with staff, with the NACTI staff, is over communicate. You know, mm-hmm. you can't isolate. And a couple of my coworkers who live alone are like, yeah, it's really lonely, you know, it's really isolating. And, you know, people should know where you are. People should know how you're feeling, right? And so the direction is going to be, or the suggestion, over communicate. And yeah, so that kind of goes to, we need to know if people are actually safe.
Right? Yes.
Right now, we're not.
I'd like that.
Yeah,
I like that. Well, Heather,
yeah. Another wow. piece of advice I had gotten from Representative Kozlowski in a meeting, and it was just so powerful, right, is that we're living in very unknown times right now. Like, things are just happening so quick. We don't really know what's going on. Like, there's really no rhyme or reason when it comes to rule of law, because they're not following any of that. And it was just like, if something needs to happen in your community, just do it. If something needs to be organized, or there needs to be a response mechanism, just do it. There's no permission, like, to organize rapid response in community, to make sure you do mutual aid, to make sure you have collective healing spaces. Just do it. And it kind of goes back to the movement, you know, that we've been having in the No Kings, you know, movement, that like, if you cannot find something happening in your community in a drivable distance, 50 miles, 100 miles, if things are not happening, then that's kind of your call to do something. We've got to organize collectively together to build back. And I think from a geographic spread, if you can't find something and you're feeling lonely, you're not the only one, right. Just do something small. We're going to start doing, I think, back to the COVID days, doing virtual meet and greets just with neighbors and playing nice. Games online. So we find a safe space to connect. Because like I said at the beginning of the first segment, we cannot let this divide us.
Right.
And we have to find ways to build together. And so always the door is open out here to build those relationships to make sure we have a strong web of connection and support border to border.
I love that. That is so wise, Heather. And I mean, to that creating space, right? So our organization, NACD, owns and operates All My Relations Arts Gallery right off the Powell Grounds Coffee Shop. And so we don't have a show up right now, so that kind of helped. But on the advice of our the director, Angela Two Stars, we've opened the gallery up, right? And we have it set up, activities, especially for young people. You know, they have a place to be inside and we can control access somewhat, I mean, to our best ability. And so many of the youth serving programs and our schools here in Minneapolis are closed. And so at an emergency Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors meeting today, one of the concerns voiced was spaces for these kids to go to. To eat. And so we were able to offer, well, here's one. You know, and Angela Two Stars has it all set up. It looks so good. A notice just went out to the community that's a safe space, right?
Yeah. Well, oh, I Heather, love that. What a great response. You know, kids and their education and how it's like impacting that and the fear that kids are having going to school and spaces. Like, look, we all know the generational impact of what genocide looks like. And I think we're on the onside of genocide. I mean, I think that's real and we're going to have generational impacts. And so thank you for caring about our kids and those spaces. That's wonderful.
Heather, I need you. I know you need to get going here. Oh. So do you give us the last word and then Robert and I'll take it from here.
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder. I actually have to go be a mom, right? I got to go get my little guy and make some dinner. So thank you. Keeler for Congress. That's just where you can find what we're doing, but also still have a year left in the House. And so, you know, local legislation, things that we need to do, anything that we need to actually make some movements to help keep our community safe. Let's get creative and do that. Thanks, Robert and Robert, right, for the reminder to take care of ourselves first. That's really important. And I'll do my best to do that myself and continue to share that message out here.
Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much. Big PDE. Yes, we'll see you. Wow, Robert. Just great having both you guys on together.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's super nice. And just having a conversation about the same things in a different way.
Right. And it's so good. You know, like I said, I do follow Heather's work. I'm so impressed. And she kind of came into politics after I left. So we didn't have those kind of natural intersections that we might have. So it's good to, I think this might be the first time I've spent time with her actually just now. So that was nice. Thanks for creating that opportunity.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we got like half a show here and I know it's been a pretty stressful time, but I want to get into the nitty gritty again and talk about things that are happening locally. I know I saw ICE was on our streets in Franklin Avenue today, and so we have a lot to talk about in locally and nationally, and couldn't think of a better person to talk to you about things that are happening right now. So let's do it. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and I'm with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, and we'll be right back.
Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting Vopli Viroplio Sova, Thursday, January 15th. Celebrate Malacca Night, or Old Calendar New Year, with Vopli Viroplio Sova's mix of punk, folk, and global grooves. This show is part of the band's 40th anniversary world tour. They pioneered the sound of modern Ukrainian music, spanning genres, generations, languages, and lands. There will also be a charity auction to support Ukraine's largest children's hospice for war-affected orphans and families. Opening the show is Ukrainian Village Band. More information about Vopli Viropia Sova is available at thecedar.org.
Aho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our friend Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And Robert, a lot going on, and it's heartbreaking. But also what you were saying earlier, too, when you first got on, is we have to take care of ourselves, but we also have to be vigilant, too. And so it's a fine line here of fighting back, but also taking care of ourselves.
Agree. And there's just been a lot of activity, organizing, interactions within all communities, right? But the Native community, our allies, figuring out how we can best support each other. A lot of demonstrations here in Minneapolis and around the Twin Cities, but especially Minneapolis, tens of thousands of people are showing up. And really, the priority for me right now, and I think for a lot of us, is to keep things peaceful. And as the governor said, or mayor said, the governor said it very, very well this morning in a press conference, but we can't give the federal government more reasons to send more troops, right? And we saw this after George Floyd was murdered, and this just evokes so much of that feeling and that trauma from 5 years ago, almost six now, when that happened. Wow. And what we saw is peaceful protesters turned violent when they were infiltrated with outside agitators who wanted to see violence, right? I mean, and everything, all the evidence, some people were prosecuted, some of these non-Minnesota mm-hmm. people, or certainly not Minneapolis residents, who started the violence, started throwing rocks through windows and burning businesses down and things. And so there's just this really concerted effort throughout communities. The faith community is really stepping up to try to keep these demonstrations peaceful. And our governor has said it so beautifully these last few days. You know, you have a right to express your anger. You have a right to demonstrate. You have your First Amendment rights, right? And so exercise them and stay peaceful. And I just think that's a message all of us need to be sharing with each other. And I've talked to several people, young people who are at demonstrations, and they can pick out who the potential agitators are who are trying to incite violence. One of them said, and you know her, so I'm not going to say her name on the radio, but she said, yeah, I can always spot these potential these plants, these potential agitators. She goes, I can tell by their shoes.
Oh, that's good. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, when you say really impressed. So she engages with them, you know, she engages, starts asking them questions and trying to be peaceful with them.
Well, Robert, how did you feel? Because I saw the live video from Franklin Avenue, and that, I don't know why, but that really hit home with me because I'm on Franklin Avenue all the time.
Right. So for folks who are not in Minneapolis, Franklin Avenue is the American Indian Cultural Corridor. A segment is very strongly identified with Native people, high concentration of Native population, Native businesses, Native nonprofits. Our office is there in the building with Palo Grande's Coffee Shop and All My Relations Arts Gallery. So, you know, we're in there seeing on social media, wow, they're just a block. They were a couple blocks. I was in a meeting. I was downstairs in the office. Our gallery director, Angela Two Stars, was upstairs, and she was in the same meeting, and she was monitoring the same social media. And she goes, oh, well, there's a lot of horns honking on Franklin. They must be coming this way. And I was like, okay, do you want me to come upstairs? And she goes, no, I'm fine. But, I mean, it's literally, we are in it, right? And as a community, I mean, I would look back to the riots after George Floyd was murdered. We took incredibly good care of our relatives, our Native relatives, our non-Native relatives. We took incredibly good care of our native assets. I fully expected Franklin Avenue to burn during the riots after George Floyd. I think the extent of any property damage was one broken window all along the American Indian Cultural Corridor. So we know how to take care of ourselves and take care of each other, you know, but it's this whole ICE thing. It's like pop-ups, right? They just pop up, you know. One of my coworkers was all stressed out because his neighbor had texted him that ICE was at her place of employment, and then he didn't hear from her. So he was just completely stressed, completely traumatized, thinking something had happened to her. Turns out it didn't. So a bit of a happy ending, but it's just so random.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I have a couple notes here, and I'm kind of all over the place, but, you know, what's your feeling about Governor Walz and the National Guard to protect? Is that escalating? Or I'm not really sure what the game plan is here. Is he going to be fighting ICE, or are you going to be protecting people?
So what the governor has said, and I haven't talked to him, not that I would anyway, but he's been very clear. He's got the National Guard on alert. That isn't the word they use. There's a technical official word, but they're on standby. And that I heard him say yesterday in the media that this is a National Guard training weekend. So there are literally something like 8,000 National Guard guards people already kind of engaged that can be deployed fairly quickly. And so they're on alert to protect Minnesotans. That was what the governor said. And so I would interpret that to mean protect Minnesotans from ICE and federal agents. And so we'll see where that goes. But for me anyway, I find it reassuring that our governor is seeking to use our resources and Minnesota troops to protect Minnesotans. And I just think it's really intriguing, the disparity between what the local officials are saying here and what the federal officials are saying about what happened. It's like it's like the upside down, right? And so this idea of our state military troops protecting us from federal troops is interesting. And, you know, it almost, you know, I mean, and I hate to be an alarmist, but it sounds like civil war, right?
Yeah, definitely. What's crazy too, Robert, you know, I'm a former high school teacher, and you were talking to Heather last segment, and I'd like you to talk a little bit more about that. But I know these schools closing, again, that's a trigger for me and of sadness.
Right. I mean, I think that was the right call, but that is extreme, right? Schools in Minneapolis cannot guarantee their students' safety. That is so sad. And I'm guessing a lot of folks already know a high school was raided yesterday, Roosevelt High School, very high Native population, traumatized their students. At least, I think it was three total of their faculty were, I don't know if detained is the right word, had encounters with ICE agents. They were cuffed, chemical irritants were released on them. Mm-hmm. Students were sheltered in place at the library across the street. And I talked to a young Native brother at a public meeting today, and he happened to go by Roosevelt while that was going on. And at first he thought it was like a anti-ICE demonstration. And then he saw these students were crying. They were totally traumatized.
Jeez.
And how is that making us safer? And, you know, that's the governor pushes this point. We are not safer because of this. We are less safe.
No. And I guess I am excited that people are out there protesting and protesting in a good way. Nationally, the House bill passed to extend health care. And that vote was 230 to 196, Robert. And so is that a sign of light where some people are snapping out of it and finding out that this is not the Trump and the federal government is not the way to go?
Hope so. Fingers crossed, fingers and toes crossed. And And we'll see. I think it, in, you know, Robert's armchair interpreting, I think lawmakers understood how unpopular cutting off those subsidies, those Affordable Care Act subsidies were. And I mean, it's massive. What was it? It's like 70 or 80% of Americans wanted them extended. And that's just a numbers game, you know, and politics or elections are numbers games, right? And so I think there would have been a lot of unpopular incumbents in their districts had they voted against it. And we're, you know, watching with hope the signals that these midterms are going to be very good for the Democrats, right? And so maybe that these Republicans are trying to maybe mitigate that or smooth that over. But I think it's just basic. It was so unpopular to discontinue those subsidies, so they had to extend them.
Well, in the last 48 hours, it really makes sense what Governor Walz has done, because he's really needs to be not campaigning, but running the Minnesota government the way we're being under attack. What are your feelings about who's going to run again here for the Democrats?
Well, we shall see. And before I get off Governor Walz, I mean, I just think he's done an amazing job, big supporter. I think he made the right, if difficult, decision to step out of the race. And there's all of these indicators that show that Minnesota is like the best state in the union to raise a family, for example. Yeah. That needs to be lifted up. And that's what I think that the MAGA folks and Trump are really afraid of, that people will start to realize, oh, wow, caring for people actually means something, right? And so they have to quash him as much as they possibly can. He even said in his press conference today, if Trump has something against me, he's already got what he wanted. You know, I'm out of here in a year. So I thought that was really interesting. And we'll see who steps in. And, you know, there's a lot of names being floated about. The, I know the front runner one, I would say, would be our U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar, one of the most statewide popular politicians in forever, but certainly in decades. And so she might have a leg up. I like her in the Senate. I would support her if she was our governor's candidate as well. But she is very prominent within the Senate. And we'll see what happens with her future career. And then I have some other ideas that we can talk about later.
Right on. Hey, I'm here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute CEO, and a White Earth Ojibwe citizen. I always got to bring that up every once in a while. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wah.
Listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Bobby Wilson.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Minneapolis Twin Cities area. Robert, one of the questions I wanted to bring up again was, you know, when COVID hit, when George Floyd hit, the Native American Community Development Institute, you were saying, stepped up, and it sounds like you're stepping up again. And I remember you guys turning the whole art gallery into a food distributing place and all these things that really helped out the community. And it sounds like you're doing it again for our students.
You know, thank you, Robert, for the recognition, but we're not the only ones, right? Everyone is stepping up. We're all trying to figure out what to do. But it does kind of have that same feel as the George Floyd, after the post-George Floyd murder, where we didn't know what to do, right? That was during COVID as well. And we were all trying to pivot and respond and serve as much of the community needs as we can. Not hugely unlike the era of the Wall of Forgotten Natives, a massive homeless encampment that was predominantly Native right there on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. You know, we're quick to adapt. We're quick to center the well-being of our relatives in our work. And it's not like we're hugely resourced to do that or anything like that, but those are our priorities. And I feel good about that. So I don't want to make it sound like Yankees doing all the stuff in the world. Everybody is stepping up. This is actually kind of evoking back to there was the question of SNAP benefits being discontinued from the federal level and how the community came together, and lots of communities, right, to figure out where food resources were, you know, how we can make sure that people are still fed. This is kind of coming up now with this ISTA, because a lot of students, for example, rely on schools for maybe 2 or 3 meals a day. So if they're not in school, they don't have that access. Mm-hmm. A lot of elders, for example, one of our local organizations, Indigenous Peoples Task Force, canceled their food distribution because they didn't want people lining up outside their building and being vulnerable, right? And so, so how do you get food to these people? And Native American Community Clinic on the Cultural Corridor, they have patients that are afraid to come out for their appointment. So rather than canceling, they're trying to use their resources to arrange transport for people. But yeah, it's, again, I don't know how in anyone's mind this is making life better or safer in Minneapolis. And so you have students that can't learn, they can't go to school. You have workers whose employers are closing, so they're not earning. You have businesses that are losing customers. I haven't been down to Lake Street today, but I heard from someone who was down there that it's like a ghost town. So all these small immigrant-owned businesses are either closing because they don't have customers, or they're trying to protect the safety of their workforce and their customer bases. And so, I mean, this is really disruptive.
Yeah, I know my daughter had an experience today because one of her coworkers and whole family was getting caught up in this mix. And it's just to see her emotional and how they helped the family, large family. And it was cool because, like you said, there's other people stepping up, and there was a church that stepped up. And that's always good to hear, because I always feel like that's what they should be doing. And they're really helping this family.
Right. And like I said, the clergy is really stepping in. And just about any social media live feed you see of a demonstration, there's clergy predominantly present and visible. And one of our local pastors of a Native church, which is called All Nations Indian Church, Kelly Sherman Conroy, I follow her on Facebook and some of the others as well. And she had listed this sort of checklist. She had posted this checklist of what clergy should do, you know, wear a collar, wear a shawl, you know, so you're identifiable, but also tell people where you're going, tell people when you leave, tell people when you're home. I mean, just really practical and in some ways chilling, you know, steps that they need to do to protect themselves.
Yeah. Geez. Well, this is part of the show where I always think of Wendy and saying to ask Robert what he wants to talk about. So I know there's a lot of things happening with the organization and other organizations, and I'm going to kind of give you the floor here if you're prepared and ready to go. Oh, wow.
Well, I appreciate it, Robert. I'm always happy to talk about whatever you want to talk about. One thing I would like to lift up is the response of the organizations, right? We have this umbrella leadership forum here called the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors. It's a 50-plus year old leadership forum that has really grown and evolved, especially in the last maybe 10 years, and it's professionalism. I mean, we're not sovereign leaders. We're heads of nonprofits primarily, some public sector folks, Urban Tribal Reps are part of the group as well. And we have really been trying to collaborate or collaborating on response, right? So Wednesday was this big, large community meeting on our how to best serve our unsheltered and opioid relatives. There were more people there than ever before. People are looking to be in community, right? And looking to feel figure out what they can do. Today we had a two-hour meeting of the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors. It was incredibly well attended. We called it an emergency meeting. We're trying to figure out how to coordinate resources, coordinate messages out to the community. We're meeting again tomorrow morning in a sort of a special emergency meeting to continue this work. And I wanted to talk about it because, you know, there's often dynamics in the community. We have sort of organizations, we have organizational leadership, we have community members, and, you know, no big surprise, we're not always on the same page, right? And so I just think it's important for folks to know that the, at least the organizational leadership here in the Twin Cities is responding. We're trying to figure out how to support each other, support the community, how to better or best organize our fairly limited resources in keeping people safe, keeping people fed, keeping people warm, keeping people sheltered. And so there's a lot going on.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's just again a lot of action, and it's cool to hear all this happening, because we, you know, you've said this before and I've stole it from you, is that, you know, we know resistance and we know what to do. And that's what it sounds like is happening in the community right now.
Agree. And yeah, I think I said, we're the resistance people. We're the resistance experts, I think.
Yes. My next t-shirt. Oh,
I love it. And we are, you know, and it was really interesting leading into this, and, you know, this is tragic and we're just still kind of reeling here and trying to figure this out. And someone's dead, right? Because of unnecessary federal involvement in our communities. And so that's kind of a different thing. But I will say, leading into this, it was really becoming apparent to me how Native people, Native orgs, people who kind of rely on our traditions and re-embrace our traditions and cultures, had this certain buoyancy about them. And as everything was turning to crap around us, I could see almost this joy, you know, this buoyancy within our community. I thought, okay, this is it really happening, right? Yeah. Now all bets are off. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone in a week, right? But it's still there, right? That resilience and that buoyancy. So I'm, in spite of all of this, I am hopeful.
Yeah, and that's a great way to end it, Robert. Thank you so much for coming on. And I want to thank State Representative Heather Keeler for joining us too. Always great to have you on. And we're marking this as the best of, so we'll be sending this out to all the other stations. This has been a great show. Thank you, Robert.
Miigwech, gigawaba, man.
Right on. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Go vote. Go vote.
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting Detroit at the Turf Club, Saturday, January 10th. Flesh Rock Founders Detroit celebrate their longtime friend, manager, and hype artist, Jim Weber, with this belated birthday bash. Minneapolis's Detroit mixes rock, funk, and hip-hop, reflecting influences of Motown, punk, and rap. Their decade-spanning sound is the flesh-made rock and the rock-made flesh. Opening the show is Dosh. More information about Detroit at the Turf Club is available at first-avenue.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, a reminder of everyone here in the Twin Cities, join me for Native Roots Radio Presents Controlled Fire with Hunter Thundercloud and his posse, talking about things like recovery, indigenous ways of life, and a lot of good positive things. Hey, I'm here with Arvina Martin, our political consultant and advisor here from Wisconsin, but all over Turtle Island. And I just want to read this here from the Star and Tribune before we get going here. Is Donna Granger told the Star Tribune that her daughter lived in the Twin Cities with her partner. In a joint statement, several Minneapolis council members confirmed she lived in the city. Granger said that family was notified of the death late Wednesday. It's so stupid that she was killed, Granger said. After learning some of the circumstances from the reporter, she was probably terrified. Granger said that her daughter is not a part of anything like that at all, referring to the protesters challenging ICE agents. So, again, I want to just say her name one time here during the show. And that's, you know, it was hard for me really to say her name, but it's Renee Nicole Good, and I just want to say her name one time. Welcome back, Arvina.
Yeah, I wish I was here on a better news day, but you know, and as I always do when we have these kind of days, I just want to remind everybody that this is rough, and it's okay if you're not okay. And I'm really excited that Hunter Thundercloud is going to be on after this, you know, talking about wellness and mm-hmm. coping and everything, because this is a really difficult time right now, and we all need to figure out what it is that helps us refill our cup, mm-hmm. so that we can keep fighting or keep existing. You know, keep hanging on. For some people, you know, this might just be that your mental health is so bad that you are just trying to hang on, like not even fight, but like, I've got to get through my day and all of this terrible stuff keeps happening. You know, trying to figure out, talk to somebody, talk to a friend or neighbor, you know, seek out therapy. I think everybody should do therapy, you know, to get insight on yourself and how you make decisions and how you think. Drink a glass of water, go for a walk outside, find what it is that grounds you and that you feel like gives you some strength somehow, to keep going, because we have to keep going.
And don't forget, like you said, hydrate and watch the Golden Girls.
Absolutely.
We have our grandkids here for a couple days, including today. And Wendy and I were trying to sneak in watching Taylor Swift's documentary. Now, wasn't you and your daughter here in Minneapolis for Taylor Swift, or was that another
Beyonce
concert?
We were there for Beyonce.
Oh.
Yes,
that was earth shattering too. And I feel like next time Taylor's out, which will probably be, I'll be an old person, I think we should just go for the positive vibes
and the sparkly stuff, and yeah. You know, just shiny people. Yes. And you know, people just trying to have fun, living their best lives and trying to enjoy something with other people. You know, we all need, and especially right now, we all need that kind of community. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us are still feeling disconnected after COVID. You know, I don't think that we've, as a society, gone through enough processing or reckoning of what COVID and the pandemic did to our social constructs, to our society. You know, I don't go out and be social. I'm not social as much as I used to. Mm-hmm. And we are not solitary creatures. We, especially as Native people, our families, our communities are so important to us. And making sure that we feel that connection, if possible, to whatever community that may be. That might be your neighbors, the people that live on your block. Maybe mm-hmm. it's your D&D group. You know, finding community in the place where you need it is really important.
Yeah, definitely. Those are great words. I was just thinking, I have not been to a movie theater, but then we did do with Minneapolis Institute of Art, with their movie theater, we had three Native movies during Native American Heritage Month. But I'll be working with them too for this year, not just on that month, but that'll be exciting to be able to bring in Native-centric and run movies along with their stars and writers, and that'll be fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and as we've mentioned previously, I do believe that we are experiencing a kind of a renaissance in terms of Native art, media, pop culture, that you know, we've got folks that are out there. Dallas Goldtooth is going to be on that show Fallout. I've heard very good things. You know, there's still somehow people that have not yet seen Reservation Dogs.
Oh my gosh.
You know, grab your friend that hasn't seen it and introduce them to the genius that is Willie Jack. You know, there's so much out there available for us to consume, and so much amazing, authentic in so many different ways, media for us to enjoy and see ourselves reflected in. And I mean, that's part of self-care too, is being able to see yourself as being part of your community. And part of that is, you know, having these pieces of media that are being consumed not only by you and within your smaller community, but by folks that are not members of that same group. Check things like that out.
We have a lot of Native allies out there that listen to the show. And I just want to, you know, we got a good couple minutes left, but I just wanted to say this too. We're one of the only shows, if the only show, that has on 5 days a week that talks about Native issues across Turtle Island, the whole country. And Arvina, you're a big part of that. You come on a couple times a week because I need your perspective, and I really appreciate that. But you're part of this this team, from AM 950 to Civic Media in Wisconsin, that that really amplify Native voices. And, you know, hopefully people are realizing that we're all just people. We're people.
Yeah, and people that are doing incredible things in all different fields. You know, it's really exciting for me to listen in between segments to the ads and seeing Deani Whitehawk's work being advertised at a major museum. And mm-hmm. I grew up with Deani when her mom was in school here in Madison. So like, that's awesome. She's an incredible artist. And there's just, that's one of the things I love about my college experience, is that I have so many friends that are Native, that are doing incredible things in fields that I, don't understand, don't know a lot about, and you know, they'll come up, and like I got advertised a book about Fort Berthold, written by my friend Angela Parker, and I got advertised that book in my social media, like completely unrelated, and that's how I found out my friend has a book out. Like, that's so cool, you know. Yeah,
that is. Well, so. we want to say a big peeny geeky to our allies out there, but also all the Natives that listen to this show and give us some positive feedback. I just want to say a big peeny geeky thank you so much, Arvina. One last time, we got about 30 seconds. How can people get a hold of you?
You can look me up again, Arvina Martin. I'm on LinkedIn. That's probably the easiest way to get a message to me that won't get lost.
Perfect. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote, vote, vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Thanks, Arvina.
Thank you. Now that the government has acknowledged the existence of unidentified anomalous phenomena, and rumors abound of an extraterrestrial galactic federation, we at KFAI would just like to say hello to our out-of-town visitors.
We assume that you ET folks are interested in learning about our various cultures and types of music, and we suggest that you can't find a better representation than KFAI.
KFAI doesn't play just a single format of music. Each of our programs is totally different from the next. All of them handcrafted by